Had a bladder control problem until I was 11 that manifested itself both day and night. I was diagnosed with learning disabilities and started thinking myself dumb or weak-minded. I quickly developed a personality that was easygoing and accessible from the outside, but dead inside, and thought it was impossible to let God or others in. At a very young age, I was described as a marshmallow-covered rock. And while events transpired that led my parents to believe in Christ, I ultimately blamed him for making me damaged goods. I became adept at coming up with ways to minimize risk and increase my control over my life. We moved to Dallas and attended a Bible church at the time. And even though I had a knack for soaking up information about God and the Bible, it was just another way of keeping up appearances. I couldn't fully trust in God or in his son Jesus. And I would go down for every altar call at every youth camp and retreat I attended, but never changed. And I would find myself continually falling short of God's standard. I quickly found drugs and alcohol before junior high and thought that I'd finally found a way to ease my pain and feel at ease. By the time I was 16, I was paranoid of my family and friends and felt lonelier than ever. I was arrested in the middle of my sophomore year of high school and spent almost 2 months in Dallas County Jail. I dropped out of high school after this and was kicked out of the house because of a physical altercation with my father. I was staying in a shelter in Garland, and my heart was harder than ever. I was leaving a trail of broken relationships and destruction and was simply looking to continue my lifestyle with minimum pain. I thought of myself as a failure and was living up to those standards. Christ was not even on the radar. I still blame God and others for my actions, my fear of failure, and my decision not to try. I felt that if God had made me, then he was the one who made the mistake. I hated who I was and God for making me. I was more determined than ever to hide myself or become someone else, and even had wanted to take my life more than once. In March of 1989, I found myself in AA, and I'd hit rock bottom with my drug and alcohol abuse. I was invited by a friend who told me there were girls there, so I came. I literally hung out in AA for my first year without seriously working the 12 steps. I simply wanted to be free of drugs and alcohol, but continue to maintain anonymity from God and others while appearing to be okay. It didn't work. During my first year of sobriety, living life on my terms, things only got worse. I couldn't hold down a job, stay out of jail, and even found myself homeless again. I needed help, but I refused to ask, because that would mean letting someone else know who I really was, a failure. I again contemplated taking my life, and God intervened, and I ended up moving to the 24-hour club off Ross Avenue, a shelter for people who were trying to get or stay sober. I still wasn't seeking Christ. He was not an option. He might be good for many people, but not for me. I knew something needed to change, so I started to seek spirituality in the New Age and occult activities, attracted by the control and power they offered. I even tried seeking spirituality through using hallucinogenic drugs. Yes, I blew the sobriety date. Externally, my life had gotten better. I could hold down a job. I had an apartment, but I was dead on the inside. And I hated myself more than ever for whom I was and whom I thought or knew I could never be. I was in an inappropriate relationship at the time that was falling apart, and I was hitting a wall. The only person I could think of to talk to was my girlfriend's mother, who her and her husband just happened to be charismatic Christians. I'm not sure why I wanted to run to them, but there you go, Christ at work. They prayed and read scripture with me, and I accepted Christ into my life. I decided I was going to sell out to Christ, and I started throwing out all my music and books that weren't religious. I stopped hanging out with non-believers, stopped smoking, even quit my job at Whole Foods. Surely God would not want anyone working at Whole Foods, right? I was cleaning myself up for Jesus and went back to the Bible church I had left when I was a teen and even got baptized. But there was something missing. I still wanted God to act on my terms, and I thought that my obedience would ensure that my life would be pain-free. I was still operating on the assumption that I could maintain control and have a real relationship with Christ. My life as a believer became a perpetual cycle of falling into private sin, feeling guilty, calling out to the Lord for forgiveness, and placing more efforts into making myself acceptable to Him. Each time the failures felt larger and my efforts to clean up my act became harder to attain. I started dating my future wife, Dawn, at this time, and we were married in 2000. We started talking to each other at Richland College. We were both attending part-time, and I quickly realized she was the one. She's been the crowning jewel of many good things God has given me, and my love for her has just grown over the years. Shameless plug here. If you don't know her, I don't have to explain what a wonderful person she is. We were married in the same church I was attending, and it was looking like I was finally getting things together. I continued to believe that I just needed to apply my efforts into becoming a good Christian, but the effort I applied into living out a good intention life left little room for Dawn or others to know who Jonathan really was. During our marriage, I found myself feeling inadequate as a provider, a leader, and a believer in general. Despite my best efforts to follow Christ and to please Him, I still found myself falling short of God's standard. I was scared to share this with Dawn, and even more scared that she would discover who I really was. I continued the pattern and struggled with sin by my best efforts. I started at UNT full-time in 2002, and my fear of failure was at its worst. I bottled up my fear and fell into a depression. Once again, I thought God had placed me in a corner and was asking me to do something I knew I couldn't and He knew I couldn't. It was during this time that I fell into sin again, and I was unfaithful to my wife, Dawn. I didn't tell her or anyone what had happened because I was scared of the consequences. I justified it had not gone as far as it could and placed all my efforts into getting through school. Once again, my best efforts at following God had failed, and I was beginning to think I was a vessel chosen for destruction. If the Christian walk was this hard, how come others seemed to be able to do it with ease? My best efforts at being a good Christian were failing, and the guilt that I was carrying from before and after I got saved was unbearable. I started struggling with masturbation and pornography. I could relate to Romans 7:15. I don't understand myself at all, for really I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do the very thing I hate. I didn't know how to live in God's grace, and my frustration with my inability to live as a good Christian had me in a constant state of fear and depression. After I graduated from UNT in 2005, Dawn and I started looking for another church. A friend at work told me about Watermark, so we decided to visit. We quickly realized we had found a church that valued grace above performance and decided to join. After joining, Dawn heard about CR and started going. She told me about it and told me I should check it out. I had a lot of experience with 12 Steps 3AA and believed that CR would not offer me anything new. I already thought my situation was hopeless, and I'd resigned that God wanted me to suffer for all I had done, but as I continued to struggle with my issues, I decided to give it a try. I've always thought of my sin as the worst. If anyone ever knew how dark my heart was, what a bad person I'd become, they would kick me out of church. I was amazed to discover other men in CR who struggled just like me. For the first time, I started to understand grace and how to open up with others about my fears and failures. I started working the steps, and it became clear that I would have to confess to Dawn the truth about my unfaithfulness and ask for her forgiveness. I would have to trust God for the results if we were ever going to experience healing in our marriage and in our life. I confessed to Dawn on May 2008, and she was very hurt. I didn't know what would happen those first 6 weeks after the confession, but I was going to move towards my wife and trust Christ with the results. I had many men who God placed in my life to pray with me and keep my eyes on Him. God is healing the wounds in our marriage caused by my past actions. God has revealed so much of His love through CR. Most of my life, I've lived trying to present a person that I wanted others to see. The last thing I ever wanted to be was known for who I was. CR helped me realize that Christ wants me as I am. It is His faithfulness and love that bridges the chasm I always felt between me and God. And Romans 8:2 says, "For the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you through Christ Jesus from the power of sin that leads to death." I realize through Christ's mercy and CR that it is not my best efforts, but through resting and trusting in Christ Jesus that I will find freedom from my struggles. I want to share an event that best explains what has changed in my actions and reactions and the way I see the Lord today. Sometime after my confession to Dawn, we were swimming with our two girls. I was with Aaron, who can't swim without help, and Dawn was at the other end of the pool with Emily. And Aaron and I were playing, having fun, and I turned around for what was likely seconds, and I heard Dawn calling out. I quickly turned around to see Aaron underwater. I moved faster than ever and quickly had her out on the side. She was okay, but I wasn't. The mental and spiritual attacks started instantly. You're no good. You're going to destroy this family, and even you should just end your life. In the past, I would have crawled into a shell and never admitted that I'd made a mistake in judgment. The pain of facing my failure would have caused me to defend my actions, and I never allowed for healing within my family. I would have blamed God for creating me as a failure and allowing the event to ever happen. But instead of listening to those lies, I turned towards Christ and recognized His grace and loving kindness. I was able to look at Dawn in the face and ask her for forgiveness for not being the protector of our children in that moment. I was able to experience true forgiveness and felt closer to Dawn as a result, allowing her to see my weakness. I was able to thank God for His protection and faithfulness in my moment of weakness, and I'm able to share this story with you as a victory, not a defeat. To the newcomer, I offer the following from Isaiah chapter 55. Is anyone thirsty? Come and drink, even if you have no money. Come and take your choice of wine or milk. It is all free. Why spend your money on food that does not give you strength? Why pay for food that does you no good? Listen, and I will tell you where to get food that is good for the soul. If this sounds too good to be true, it's not. If you're here for the first time, I ask you to keep coming and lay down at the feet of Christ everything you have and all that you are or think you are. You will not be disappointed. In Christ, there is no disappointment. Thank you for letting me share.